doing?
Good. Welcome aboard. How can Trent help you?
Hey, thank you, both of you, for doing your work. My question is, I've got a lot of family members that they say they're Christian, Catholics, and problem being, they say, well, I wouldn't have an abortion, but, and I'm like, okay, this, you know, how do you defend it, you know, what do you say to them when they, when it's a close relative and they say, well, I would never have an abortion, but I don't think it's
you should,
right.
Yeah, to impede someone else's right to have
correct.
A terrible thing like that.
Yep. Trent.
Fred, I would ask them a very simple question. Why would you never have an abortion? And sometimes they try to squirm away from this saying, well, I would love to have children and children are a blessing to me. So if they're not as clear when you say, why would you never have abortion, you can ask an even more direct question. What is it about abortion itself that you find really distasteful? What is it about abortion that you don't like very much specifically? And essentially the person's going to have to say the thing they don't like about abortion is that it takes a life. It ends the life of the fetus. And fetus is just a Latin word that means young one. Fetus is the stage of development in the life of a human organism, specifically from their eighth week of life until birth. So I would just ask them, what is it about abortion you don't like? And if they say, well, because it takes a life, it takes a human life, you can ask them, well, don't you think the law should protect human life? And shouldn't it protect all human life, no matter how young it is? And then it's on them to have to defend their view. And you've done it in a very gracious way to challenge it, but the burden's on them. So is that helpful?
Okay. Yeah, because...
Does that make sense, Fred?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely makes sense.
Yeah, when you can ask questions, it really allows you to have control over the conversation, and you need to call them out and make them defend their view that the unborn are not human like us and don't deserve to be treated humanely.
There's a protocol called, I think it's called Godwin's Law, which states the first person to bring up Hitler in an argument loses. There are other analogs to Godwin's Law, and I wanted to know your opinion on this, Trent. If someone lays that on someone like Fred or you or me, hey, abortion is terrible, but I wouldn't want to interrupt someone else's right to have one or pursue one. What about analogizing it to rape? I would never rape anyone. It's terrible, but I wouldn't want to pass laws that make it illegal.
No, I think these counterexamples and analogies are helpful. And I actually think Godwin's Law was based off a computer programmer. He said that as a comment thread increases or a forum increases in discussion, the probability that Nazis will be mentioned is one. And I think there's a reverse Godwin's Law where the hate forums in a white supremacist group, the longer the forum continues, the probability someone will be called a Jew reaches one, so that's reverse right. Godwin's Law.
Right, right.
But yes, you're right. We have to be careful with our analogies. So if we use too heavy-hitting terms, people may shut down. If someone says, well, I'm for abortion, I don't like it, to say back to them, oh, would you have been okay with saying, I'm okay with what Hitler's doing, I don't want to stop him, I'm in favor of his choice. When you use terms like Hitler or Nazi or rape, sometimes people can react so violently, they'll say, how dare you compare me to Hitler or to rapists? I'm nothing like that.
Yeah.
And the danger is that the anger from the other person will mull over the conversation. You can't move forward. So it's a fine line. So I try to pick colorful or examples people may not have heard of as much.
Like genocide.
Well, I sometimes might pick. I remember once I was with a group of students at a university, and they said, women should have a right to choose. It's their choice, so you shouldn't be able to tell them what to do. And so the example I used to them, I said, well, should an employer, these are liberal college students, I said, should an employer have the right to choose to fire an employee because of his sexual orientation? Shouldn't it be his choice? And so then they're stuck because they don't believe in that choice. And they said, well, no, that he shouldn't be allowed to do that. And I said, well, why can't he have that choice? And they said, well, because that choice hurts somebody. And we were at an abortion exhibit. These graphic images are right nearby. And I just kind of smiled and pointed
at
the graphic image. And I said, you probably know where I'm going to go with this, aren't you?
Yeah, and holy said, proving too much, Batman.
Right. And so they saw the point. So the more we talk about abortion and other controversial issues, we get a lot better at making analogies to make our case. And so that just takes practice. But I would recommend to Fred and others, if you're talking to family members, just try to ask as many questions. What does this person believe? Why do they believe it? Ask a lot of questions, listen, and try to agree where you can. And that usually makes the conversation run well. And in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I give five kind of essential tips for talking to anybody about this issue. Mm-hmm.